إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وبعد، إن شاء الله this topic was prepared for Markaz al-Islam. It's in Edmonton, but I thought we would share this inshallah and we'll do a second part to it also, because this is, the topic is called the ideal Muslim man. And I think all of us should be an ideal Muslim man in order to even attract the right type of mate, in order to be that ideal Muslim inshallah that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also loved by the people, at least the good ones. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated, he said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati," that everyone is a shepherd and everyone will be asked about their flock. And that's a very significant hadith, because if you look at the outset of the hadith, if you look at the parameters, everyone is literally a shepherd, because there's something underneath you or somebody underneath you. You're doing something. If you're a son, you have some responsibility under your father and your mother. If you're a wife, you have some responsibility under your husband. If you're a husband, you have responsibility, about your flock. So everyone actually is connected and interconnected, and everyone has to act accordingly if they really want to be this ideal person. Now, to be ideal, who is really the ideal one? Is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to actually sometimes, out of sheer hunger, used to have to lean on the wall. This was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But his poverty was not due to begging and so on and so forth. It was a poverty, as in Shimal al-Tirmidhi, you will see, that is a poverty of choice, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose poverty over being over living a luxurious life, or over living a copious lifestyle. So it was chosen by the Messenger of Allah. So automatically he is, As the Messenger of Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, that he is the best example for us. And he is actually khuluqan azeem. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. So verily he is on an exalted standard. We keep saying that almost every Jum'ah. So what is that exalted standard that we are supposed to actually vie for one another in order to be or try to emulate some part of that exalted standard? How are we doing that? So everyone is a shepherd. And the most ideal shepherd, or the most ideal messenger, is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a few points inshallah for them to be the ideal Muslim man. Number one, and this is a very good hint to the sisters too. If your ideal person has none of these qualities, then you have to actually look elsewhere in order to find your mate, because you will be miserable. If you're looking for a Mercedes Benz and they have none of these qualities, then you will be miserable. If you're looking for some kind of picket fence house with titanium roofing or whatever it is, then you're going to be miserable if they don't have any of these qualities. So inshallah, number one is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is verily with the one who have taqwa, who have this taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this consciousness, this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They worship Him as though they see Him, as though they see Him, even though they see Him not. They know that He sees them. So this is the taqwa. The taqwa is also actually can be correlated to a rat and a cat, because a rat is actually very frightened, or the smaller ones anyway. In some cities, you find a rat bigger than the cat because they're eating all the filth underneath. And the cat is not being fed because people are become inhumane, and that you will find in Muslim countries. It's really a shock where you see in the kuffar country where the cat is emaciated, somebody picks it up, feeds it, pets it, and brings it almost back to health. These are people who actually have some kind of ihsan in them. But but we are supposed to know better. Our cats are actually maltreated. They're looked on as though they're not living creatures. And sometimes their bones can be seen. They have little kittens, and we don't give them anything to eat, even table scrap. You just keep kicking them and chewing them. They're actually hungry. So we're supposed to go out and have that. So the cat and the rat syndrome, this is an analogy, is nowhere to say it matches towards taqwa, but the cat actually, when the rat sees the cat actually becomes pensive and goes back into its hole or goes back into any kind of shelter and is aware of the cat being around him as far as his senses can see. So we should be actually aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not frighten us, but He frightens us with His jalal, with His magnificence, but at the same time He loves us, and we are supposed to be a people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one, brothers, inshallah, you have to understand that you have to love Allah with all your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ, that the ones, verily, the ones who do good, the ones who believe and do good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, Rahman, the infinitely good, will put wudda, that will put love in their hearts, that will put love into them. And this is how the hadith of Jibreel, actually it's not the hadith of Jibreel, it's a hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He loves so and so, He will tell Jibreel that He loves so and so, and then Jibreel will tell the malaika that so and so is loved, and then the inhabitants of the world will love so and so. So if you're cheating, if you're stealing, if you're drinking, if you're doing these things, and you're doing it in a very malicious manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. That's why people sometimes become averse from people. If you're mean or cruel inside and you have this superficial exterior, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. And people will also end up disliking you for some reason. So be very, very careful, because you cannot escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And within the same hadith, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like somebody, He will actually put, will say, I do not like so-and-so, and then Jibreel, and then the malaika, and then the people of the world will actually start detesting that human being. And this is what you find with George Bush. Most of the people just detest him. He's the President of the United States. You look at his face, you feel sick. How can an incompetent person like this take such a major position? He's just a puppet amongst the many puppets. And you'll see that people have this, as soon as they look at him, even his supporters must always think that, well, what kind of idiot has come into power here? And these are the people who cause corruption, kill innocent human beings, who lie, who cheat, who do it on a very grand scale with their suit and tie, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them to account. Now the ideal man, inshallah, has to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as number one priority. All these people that you see that are being hated by even the people themselves, they do not have their Creator as the number one priority. So we have to, as the human beings, we have to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a priority. This should send a signal to the sisters that don't choose your mate if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a priority in their lives. Don't choose that man, even if he's good looking or whatever he is. Don't choose him because he is not good for you, because Allah is not a priority in his life. So you will not be a priority. As long as Rabbul Alameen is a priority in somebody's life, then you will actually be a priority also to him, because he will know, he is kullukum ra'in, that he is a shepherd, and he will be kind to you. Ali radiallahu anhu said that even if you marry a pious man, even if he doesn't like you after, he will not be unjust to you. So look for that person who has that priority with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, that they're good in conduct. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Inna min khiyarikum ahsanukum akhlaq." That the best of you, verily the best of you, are the people who are best in conduct, who have this beautiful conduct. And conduct is not just something that is superficial. Conduct actually goes beyond that. You start thinking about your brothers and sisters in a very good way. And إِنَّمَا بُعْثُوا لِأُتَّمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. This is another hadith of the Messenger of Allah. He said, verily I have been sent only to complete good conduct. So good conduct actually has many facets. It's a topic by itself. But inshallah, we are supposed to be a people, or the ideal Muslim man is supposed to be, and the Muslim woman, because we're going to do a series on the woman, because we're not a bigoted nation or, you know, things like that. But it's just, this was prepared for them, because the sisters had another topic. But anyway, so we're supposed to be people who actually love Allah and be in good conduct with the people as well as good conduct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When is the last time you had shame in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing something wrong? When is the last time you felt that adab in front of Allah, that you wanted to humble yourself, or that you wanted to become somebody who is meek in front of Allah, not in front of people, but in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now we have people who smile and stab. They laugh and they kick you. They tell you nice things to your face, that they have enmity towards the heart. This is actually the description for the kuffar. They have on their tongues, and what's in their heart is much, much worse. So we're supposed to be people who smile with the purity of our heart. When you smile towards your brother, that's what you mean. You smile towards him because you love him. This is the ideal Muslim man who actually smiles and feels good. So if you're smiling for the sake of just smiling, be careful, because this is something, sadaqah, that you're giving out. You don't want to take back your sadaqah with backbiting after that and get more sin on top of that. So the one who walks with an intention to love his brothers and sisters, that is a man who actually has the characteristics of an ideal Muslim. Now, you go into masjid, you get dirty looks. Why is that? All throughout North America, you'll see, you just walk into masjid, some people, rather than giving you a smile, they'll give you a dirty look. And this is the characteristic of, you know, as though you're walking in the masjid doing something really freaky, going into prayer. Because instead of giving the person a good look, a nice look, that who is coming in, maybe the youth is wearing a t-shirt or whatever it is, maybe somebody doesn't have a beard, who cares? They're coming into the masjid. That's a very good sign that they're coming into the masjid. You should not give them dirty looks. How do you expect to give da'wah? We want to give da'wah to the kuffar, and then we turn away our Muslim brothers. This is not the way. And then, you know, same thing for the kids. What do we do with our children? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give salam to the little kids. And now we actually find it that it's ill manners that the kid doesn't give you salam when you walk in. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give them salam on the street. So you're not better than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you have to be actually good conduct in secret and in open. You have to be a person who actually loves Allah and also has this adab, this sense of dignity and this sense of manners in front of Allah and in front of the people. Now number three, inshallah, you're supposed to be a person full of kindness, and you're supposed to be a thankful person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the main ingredient to be an ideal Muslim man. Everyone is talking that the ideal man has to be so and so. You know, they have that phrase, tall, dark and handsome. Even Muslims are using that. What do they mean by tall, dark and handsome? Nowadays, you know, the kuffar are going absolutely crazy. The white ones, they're putting even though the, you know, some of them are racist, I don't mean the Muslims, because we don't have that sickness, inshallah, and if we have it, that's a very bad sickness. We need to get rid of it. It's not in the deen. But even if the white people who are non-Muslim, they actually have a cream now. It's called a tan cream that you're supposed to tan yourself. And at the same time, then if you see a Pakistani, say, hey, Paki. If you see a black man, you know, you have these sick racist remarks, but at the same time you want to make your skin brown. I don't understand that. You're lying in the sun for hours and hours. Oh, look at my tan. How beautiful it looks. So we are people who are supposed to be somebody who is endowed with kindness, as well as people who are bereft of racist tendencies, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because He is the most kind, He says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا, that if you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never be able to count them. You will never be able to count them. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَذَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ, that verily the human being is zalumun, he is an oppressor unto himself, and he is kafar. He is somebody, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, after, look at, this is in the same verse. After He says that you will not be able to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a sign, it's an indication that all the ni'mah is there for you, all the blessing is there for you. You will never be able to count them. This is Rabbul Alameen telling you, you will never be able to count him. And verily the human being is an oppressor. And he is kaffar. He is somebody who covers the bounties. So Allah is saying, you'll never be able to count my bounties. At the same time saying the human being is somebody who actually covers the bounty, because kuffar, by the terminology of the Book of Allah, the farmers are also called kuffar because they take the seeds, they put it into the earth and cover it with dust, and that's actually making kuffar. That's actually covering up. So the lexical terminology that we see is the covering up. By the Islamic terminology, kufr means also disbelief. So we have the human being who actually is an ingrate at times to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ideal Muslim man is supposed to be somebody who is always in search of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His bounty, for the air that we breathe, for the health that we have, for the legs, and for the joints that move in unison with the body, with the eyes that see, the ear that hears, the nose that smells. These are all something very fantastic we take for granted, and then we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, and to thank Allah for giving the opportunity to thank, because a lot of people don't even have the opportunity to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thank Allah and come back to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you will be the ideal Muslim. You will be the ideal Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many, many verses about that. وَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will increase you. This is the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you blessing, all those things, the blessing of salah, how many people are missing their salah? How many people are missing the salah? And it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the salah is there. Wallahi, it is a blessing that you put your head down. It is actually a comfort to the heart. Stay down there for a little while and imagine your end. Imagine your beginning and imagine your end, and you will see how far you will go. So if you're cheating people, if you're doing little funny things that you know that's wrong, you should actually let those things go. Look at the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The companions used to sit together and they used to thank Allah. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, they were thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this deen. They used to actually gather together to thank Allah. How many times have you gathered together to thank Allah for this deen? Why are our programs never successful? Why are our programs never been attended to maximum capacity? Why aren't people like bulldozing the masjids downward? We have no space. We have no space. Why are they not doing that? Is it only on Eid and only on an occasional Jum'ah where you take a holiday or something like that? Why is that? Why is that? I think we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the deen, because it's a magnificent deen. Thank Allah for the families that you have, for the friends you have. If you have a sincere friend, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your sincere friend, and don't lose him through your bad actions. Don't lose him through your repugnant dealings with him. Don't lose. So the ideal human being, the ideal Muslim man, is supposed to be somebody who is conscious of their family, who is conscious of the orphans, who is conscious about their family, community members. When is the last time you were conscious about your family? What are you doing out there the whole night till 2, 3 in the morning and your family is at home? How can you be the ideal Muslim man? What are you doing out there in the clubs when your wife is at home? Are you looking for another lady? Do you think that you will get satisfaction there while she's cooking and cleaning for you and minding your kids, and you're out there in the casino? What are you doing there? Why are you not taking care of your family? So you're not really the ideal man. And if you can't take care of any orphan, then really you don't have that. And this is an ijtihad, and this is something that's good, that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. If your hearts are hardened, you know, put your hand over the orphan. How many people are taking care of an orphan? How many people? How many more houses that they have to demolish in Palestine, in Kashmir, and all those areas? How many more that we have to lose? Sometimes we lose our houses due to our own Muslims, and sometimes from the outside. How many more people? When is the last time? Where are the people who are caring about the orphans and the people who don't have enough to eat? Where are they? Everybody wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to be given credits at the end of the day. He did this, she did that, who did this? You know, everyone wants that, but who are taking care of the orphans? Where are the people who are really working for a cause like this? Where are the people who are looking after the widows? Where are the people who are looking after wives who have kids and their husbands have died? Where are those people? How do you call yourself such an ideal human being when you can't even look after a small minority faction of your community? And the last one, the community members. How many people care about your community members? Who is actually in search of alleviating somebody's problem as of today? How many people went out there thinking that somebody has a problem in my community, I shall be able to find someone and just do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and alleviate that pressure off his head? Alhamdulillah, we have that can. So if you do throw that money, it does go to people who are actually in a bit of a bind. I mean, they're not somebody, they're not beggars or something. It's just a condition that they have fallen in. And don't be too proud, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also put you in that condition. Everyone is tested according to his or own pressure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And you look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He said, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُمْ مِنَ الْبَدِ. So he is talking to his family that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, really has been good to me, has shown ihsan to me by taking me out of the prison, right? And then calling his family from the desert to him. After all that he faced, after they threw him into the well, and after he was taken as a slave, and so on and so forth. There's old life story. Surah Yusuf is a beautiful surah. If you don't cry, there's something wrong with your heart. It's become very hard. When he actually, when the father, when Yaqub alayhi salam smells the, you know, the scent of Yusuf, and he actually weeps. And this is something that actually should move you. And we should go back to these magnificent stories, because there's lessons in it for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I stated before, He will give you. If you give thanks to Him, He will give you inshallah, and He will increase you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أحسن كما أحسن الله إليك, that do good as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done good to you. And Allah has done more than good to us. Wallahi, we drive cars and we have plenty of food in the fridge. And one little thing that's missing, we start complaining about those things. We eat extravagant things. We spend $10 for a small snack. We do all these things, and then we don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ahsin. It's an order. It's in an order form. It's fa'al amr. Ahsin. That you have to actually do good as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done good to you. This is an order to the believers. So if you're an ideal Muslim man, you have to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa'mul bil ma'roof. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding with ma'roof, with goodness. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ مَعْرُوفٍ صَدَقَةً. That all the good things, it's sadaqah. Smile to your brother's face is sadaqah. Throwing a dollar in the can with good intention is sadaqah. Helping somebody is sadaqah. Alleviating somebody's pressure is sadaqah. Even saying kind words to somebody that they're apprehensive of something, it's sadaqah. If somebody is going through turmoil, you talk to them good things, you try to help them out, this is sadaqah. And this is something you should not be taking lightly. You should not take these things lightly, inshallah. And number four, and I end with this, inshallah, the ideal Muslim man is somebody who is supposed to actually remember death. And this person will be somebody of a high nature. And he will remember death in his actions. He will see before his actions, between it and after it, as the companions used to do. So Shaddad ibn Aws, he said, radiyallahu anhu, he said, death is the most fearsome terror that the believer will encounter in this world or the next. It is worse than being covered or carved with saws and being cut with scissors, or being boiled in cauldrons. If a dead man were to be brought back to life to tell his world's people of death, they would find no profit in life and take no pleasure in sleeping. And we find all the profit in life and we take beautiful pleasure in sleeping. We are not in any kind of discontent in going about in our lives. We think that we'll go on forever. Some of us have lost their parents. Some of us have lost their brothers and sisters. Some of us have lost their cousins. Some of us have lost their uncles. How many people that we have to see over and over and again? All you have to do, if you want to see how many Muslims are killed, just turn on the TV and they will show you how many are killed just on a superficial basis. But you just see the tip of the iceberg, because there's lots, lots, lots more down there. So the ideal Muslim man is supposed to remember death, and not supposed to be a person of frivolous nature. Supposed to help the people. We don't do. Sometimes you hear things like, oh, why should I give some money, or why should I do this, and why I should not do this. We want to build a house for this brother in Jamaica. We don't know him. We know he's a good brother, from a good brother from us. We want to build his house. He bought the frames already. We have the last 3 weeks thing, and we have this week. And whatever we get, we'll send it so he can start building the foundation or whatever is needed. And within 1,500 to 2,000, we'll get him a house as well as a business so he can fend for himself and marry. And that will be alleviating somebody's pressure. We really don't care where you come from, Jamaica, Africa. It doesn't matter from us. Where you come from, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Kashmir. This is all sicknesses that we bring from back home thinking, are you a Pakistani? Oh, then I can help you. Are you an Arab? Then maybe I should put my money there. We should be a people who put money to human beings. Even the kuffar who don't have to eat, give them to eat. This is dawah. How many kuffar are out there giving wheels on meals and so on and so forth? How many people are out there giving? Just by giving your charity, showing that we are people who care about human beings. So this is the only way, brothers and sisters, to be the ideal Muslim, inshallah. And I'll just recap this very quickly, that you have to be very, very serious about your deen. Your 5-time daily salah is a must on you. If you're missing that, then you know, this is a contract between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you miss it, then you know, you have an accountability to Allah. Don't let somebody look down on you. Don't let somebody tell you doing this and that. You will count for it on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, if your salat is not right, nothing will be right. And that day will be forever. We fight for dunya that will end one day. You know, and we don't realize that it will end one day because we think because you have health now, that you have next week to come. What is very frightening is that sometimes we prepare for 10 years down the road and we amass whatever, and really our lives are going to be another month long. And we're amassing for 10 years. That's very scary, if you think about it. Wallah, if you think about that your life is only going to be another month, and you don't know, and you're amassing 10 years down the road, that's a very scary thought, because you will be really stuck in a jam. You will want to do the good. لَعَلِّي, you know, send us back, so we can actually do some good. So be somebody who's very, very serious with their deen, and be people who are kind. Seriousness doesn't mean that you're rude and abrupt, and that you're unkind to people who need to be kind, and then you're kind to people who don't need to be kind. You don't always have to be kind if somebody's in a suit and tie. I'm not saying be rude to them, but don't be a hypocrite. Don't be unkind to somebody who doesn't have, and be kind to somebody who's in a suit and tie and driving a fancy car. This is not our motto. You're supposed to be kind to all, from the rich to the poor. That's what the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, because he was the ideal messenger. He was the culmination of the Prophet. Khatim al-Nabiyyin. So take deen very seriously, take your prayer very seriously, take the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very seriously. This is a hint to the sisters, because you know they say, why is he just doing the ideal man? Inshallah we'll do the ideal woman. This is a hint to the sisters. If you don't find these qualities in the mate that you're going to marry, rethink the offer. Rethink the offer. Wallah, I tell you, rethink the offer. Because Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he didn't give his daughter to Zayd, Yazid. He did not give his daughter to Yazid, because he said, she will be too far from my religious norms that I brought her up from, that I brought her up under my care. She will be too far. So if you're listening to this, and this should be a hint to you, don't go for that guy who doesn't have any of these qualities. Don't. So inshallah, take the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very seriously. We have to read the book of Allah. How many Jum'ahs are going to pass that you're not going to read the book of Allah? How many more days are going to pass till you go to your grave that you're not going to read? It only takes 4 lessons. We made 38 lessons down to 4 lessons. Wallahi al-Azim, if you do just 4 lessons, and people are finding that hard. Now I find that like the salah order, when the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was content with 50 salah. He took it and he was going down to the ummah saying, 50 salah, faraid. This is fard for you. Mandatory. Musa told him, go back. Your people won't be able. Even after 5, he said, go back. So he felt shy, the Messenger of Allah. That's why we have 5. Now from those 38 lessons, you're down to 4. We can't even complete 4. Because Musa alayhi salam, he knew, He knew that the Ummah will not be able to do it because he had his Ummah, he dealt with them. But it's not that hard to give thanks to Allah 5 minutes a day. Don't tell me you're too busy. So read the book of Allah. It's very, very easy. Very, very easy. Wallahi, and you bring some people, they get to lesson number 3 and then they don't come. The most frustrating thing for me as a human being, as a Muslim, is that when somebody gets to lesson 3 and they do it well, they don't come back for lesson 4, and lesson 4 is the one where they start reading. That actually frustrates me the most. Only 4 lessons. You can do it, inshallah. The Quran is very, very easy. But how many people remember it? And inshallah, I end with this, that you have to actually, as an ideal Muslim man, you have to bring your children up in a very good fashion. You have to actually care for them, love them, be kind to them, show them a good example. So my father used to pray, my father used to be kind, he used to help the poor, he used to take care of the orphan. Be a person who brings up their children in a good way. If you're not spending time with your children, it's a very big no-no. You will miss a lot of things, you will get old, you will not have that attachment with your child. Don't fool yourselves. You will get old. If you have small kids, you will get old and you will not have that attachment to your child. The child will not remember. I remember my father and mother every day. If I remember, I pray for them. Alayhi rahmatullah. May Allah have mercy on them. Because they used to spend time with me. And you have to spend time with your kids. You have to love them, show them, go to the masjid, play with them, take them to the market, let them eat, let them be comfortable with you. You don't have to have the sledgehammer all the time on their head. So bring up your children in the deen and be humble people and be a people who actually take care of the household. It's our arrogance that we don't even do anything in the household. If somebody doesn't wash dishes, maybe he's lazy. But if somebody doesn't wash dishes because if he thinks he's beneath that, then there's something very wrong, because you cannot say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is beneath you. He took care of himself. He sewed his stuff. He mended his sandal. He took care of his family. You can't tell me you're better than the Messenger of Allah. So this is the message today, brothers and sisters. Take it. If you're the ideal Muslim man and you want to strive for that, be a person of taqwa, be a person of adab, be a person who cares about their family, about their environment, about the orphans, about the widows, about their community members, and really genuinely care, not some superficial stamp that we have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and guide us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the ideal man and the ideal Muslim woman. Ameen, all of us. Jazakumullahu khairan.